Keith Forster was my friend. He was my brother priest. We shared much. When he left us, I had a heart, peace taken out of my heart. He was truly an extraordinary man. Most of you here know him from Word and Life, but some also from St. Anthony's. He was a member of the steering committee and a voice that always wanted us to come back periodically to some theology and scripture studies, but he kept getting overridden. But anyway, he stuck it out. He was a presenter often. He always had a new slant, a new way of looking at things, any topic. Most of you know that as a young man, he was given a special challenge when he became blind. For years, he had a bit of residual vision that helped him in navigation because he could see something of shapes and colors. Not a whole lot, but enough to get by. And when he first lost his sight, by his own statement, he went through a time of depression, questioning, wondering. It was for him like what John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. He came through that time with an unshakable confidence in the love of God and a love for people of all kinds. I always found him to be a man of prayer and more of contemplation. Amazingly, even with his visual impairment, he had a talent in woodworking, and he was even a good electrician. Doing the wiring on a new house, and it passed the inspection. I think the inspector almost had a heart attack, but Keith did it right. At St. Anthony's, we have a lectern. We call it an ambo. That's a fancy liturgical term for a lectern, which Keith built. It was one of the last serious projects he did. It is really a lovely piece of work. Well, Keith was also a scholar, having been tapped by the Franciscans to teach at St. Anthony's Seminary when they still had their theology students there, and later on at the Theological Union at Berkeley, University of California. Always he was reading theology, scripture, spirituality. He was a spiritual director to many who had questions about the Bible and their faith. And that sizable amount of reading grounded him in wisdom. Many of his friends would record books for him. I even had the chance to do one for him. Now he enjoyed going to conferences, learning more about scripture and theology. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan were two of his favorites. Now I have to add in here that in his reading, he didn't limit himself to very elevated books. He loved to read the Spencer novels by Robert B. Parker. He enjoyed them. He and I got a chance to yak about that a couple of times, too. But he kept up with new technology. He got devices and programs that would read books for him. Now these, he always said, were not perfect programs. And they would often give him strange renderings of names, biblical and biblical places, and theological terminology. He'd often have to figure those out from the context of the reading. And he was always thought that was just amusing as all get out. He would laugh always at what the machine came up with. Now, he couldn't know much about Keith without experiencing his sense of humor. He enjoyed life. He found much to laugh at. There was the time, you St. Anthony people already know this, there was the time he was giving the homily, and he got up and he kind of got turned around. He was facing the side door of the chapel. Well, Nancy and I got him turned around. And he said, that's all right. He said, that door needed a good talking to. So, he enjoyed a glass of wine. I think I never saw him drink white wine. It was always red wine. And at St. Anthony's suppers, and when we'd have a gathering, he'd find a table to sit at, and he would also find somebody to keep his wine glass filled. Now, probably if Keith himself were writing this remembrance, he would list in his first importance his lifelong love affair with Nancy. They met and married after he became blind, after he had been serving up in the Stockton area, and then they had pulled him and sent him to teach theology and so on. They each had their own interests, but their love was clear, constant, it was obvious. She was his eyes, and they were each other's soul and spirit. I have to mention another thing on the side here. They met in jail. He was the jail chaplain, and she was doing ministry and so on in the jail, and that's how they first met. Anyway, he's sitting there. That chair is empty, at least for today. But Keith lived, I think, in the divine presence every day. And we who knew and loved him, well, he helped us live in that presence as well. So all I can say is, rest in peace, Keith, my friend and my brother.
I wanted to mention something else, though. When we were going through the books, looking to decide what to have for this time, one of the books that we were looking at is called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And we decided that perhaps this was not a Word in Life book because we chose the Mirror by Star book. But there is a chapter in here, and I'm going to pass these books around. I think it's chapter 5. It's called The Eyes of the Blind. It is a fascinating look at a program that allows sighted and blind people to change places. We highly recommend this book to look at what Keith's life was like all these years. Nancy, Keith's devoted wife of 48 years, right, Nancy? Yep. They were together for 48 years, and she entered this blind world with gusto. Nancy enhanced each other's lives, Nancy. You were his eyes, but he fed your heart. So here's a book here that I'm going to pass around and take a look at the whole thing, but in particular, chapter 5.